Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And good morning again to everyone. This beautiful, chilly spring morning. But let's hope, let's encourage that the sun comes out, because after all, this is the beautiful day that our Lord has made for us. We'd like to welcome Ellen Domingo. She is filling in today, a gracious lady filling in to help us out. Melissa is not well, and she's under doctor's care. I believe she's home resting.
She is home.
Yeah, so our prayers are with her, but we're very happy to welcome Ellen. Okay, I do have a few prayer concerns. First, we're all aware of the passing of Ramey Ellis this week. I know his funeral was Friday, but please just hold Rosemary and the entire Ellis family in your prayers at this time of, you know, tragic loss there with Ramey. Bruce McCummins passed away. He is the pastor at Omard United Methodist Church, and I know for a long time, big part of the community here, he worked at Tubbs Brothers and was Salesman of the Year and just a wonderful gentleman, a good Christian gentleman. We took several lay servant, lay speaker classes with him. So I believe Bruce's funeral was yesterday. So again, please hold Bruce McCummins and his whole family in prayer this week.
Both of his churches, both of his church families as well, because I know they're grieving.
Yes.
And Buell as
Omard.
Well.
And Buell Omard. And Omard. Yep. Neil Johnson, this is Karen Downing's son-in-law. Please hold him in prayer for health concerns. He's very, very ill in ICU. So please hold Karen, Neil, Katie, the whole family in prayer that he get better and able to resume his life. Okay. Any other announcements that anybody may have? John, do you have one? No? Okay. All right. Well, then we'll move into birthdays this week. And I do want to apologize. We have a happy belated birthday to Easton Massey. He was on April 21st, and I think we missed him last week. So we apologize, Easton, but very happy birthday to you. We also have Bree Matus on the 24th, Robert Bittner on April 26th, Ron Potter, who's 21, on April 28th, and Cameron Bittner on April 30th. So if we may, please sing happy birthday to all those folks.
Happy birthday to you, birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Okay. I don't have any anniversaries listed up here today. Did we miss someone? Is there a late April anniversary? No, nobody. Okay, all right. I guess we'll have to wait for those May anniversaries to come. We do have our birthday potluck, which is going to be what? The 2nd, is it, Pastor? Yes, April 2nd. We already had that. I'm sorry, May. All right, this is the April. But we've moved that, have we? Because of Mother's Day?
May 7th.
May 7th, okay. All right. So mark your calendars for that. That's always a good time. Good morning and welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, and share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. My name is Amy Henderson. I am the worship leader for this morning. Our alkalites this morning are Kylie and Olivia. Please ready your hearts and minds as they come forward to light our candles, and ready yourself for worship. Thank you. Our first praise song is number 3176. Come now is the time to worship. I'd like to ask the congregation to please stand as they are able. Our call to worship this morning is printed in our bulletin, also on our screens. Congregational response is in bold. Come, walk with us.
We will join the journey.
Let us talk together.
We will listen and speak.
Christ goes with us.
Jesus guides
us. Let us pray together. Holy One, we are often confused by the events in our world and in our lives. We ask that you come right now and walk with us. Open our hearts to hear your truth. Plant the seed of new life within us. In trust of your loving presence, we pray these things. Amen and amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 362, Nothing But the Blood.
Thank you.
You may be seated.
Amen. We can have our children come up at this time. How are you all this morning? Are you doing good? You don't sound very enthusiastic. Are you really good?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you tired?
Yeah.
Yes. There you go. There you go. Sometimes we do come into church a little tired, don't we? We've had lots of stuff all week, haven't we? That goes for me, too, and my family. We have lots and lots of stuff all week long. But you know what? When we come into God's house, I always like to think that I'm going to stop and just kind of get rid of all that stuff before I come in the door. And even though I'm weary, I want to have time that Jesus can give me his word. He can encourage me. Maybe you've been encouraged because you've been already downstairs once this morning, haven't you? And you started your Sunday school. And I don't know, did you sing some? What did you do down there this morning? Did you sing some songs? Did you talk? Yep. Yep. Jesus just starts when we come in his house. He just starts filling us up, doesn't he? He starts giving us all the good stuff and bringing joy into our lives. I hope that you had people at the door that were saying, glad to have you here this morning. Because you know what? I'm really glad to have you here this morning. And I want you to always be encouraged, knowing that God's house is a place where he wants to give you all the good that we don't get sometimes when we're out in the world. Sometimes we get stressed because we have a test in school or we got something special that we want to really do a good job on. And we don't have to worry about that when we come into God's house. We just let go of all of that stuff that that we just don't want to carry around. That goes for us big people too. When we walk into God's house, we just exhale all that stuff outside the door and we come in here. And we just come in excited because God gets to fill us up. And he gives us energy. And he makes us feel happy. Because we know what he's done for us, don't we? He's done a lot for us. And he wants you to be the very best young people that you can be. And we know that sometimes you guys get to reach people and share Christ's love in places that we don't even get to do that. You guys get to be kind at school with your friends. You get to do all of those things. And every time you're kind, and every time you're helpful, and every time you're doing what the hard thing to do is, and that's to do what's right sometimes, you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're being a great example in your school and to everybody that you come in contact with. Thank you, kids, for being the disciples of Jesus Christ this morning. And we want you to know how very much you're loved. Can we say a prayer together? Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus, for every one of these children. Thank you for helping them to know you and for helping them to be your disciples in the world and to share your love in places that we don't always get to go. But Lord, help them to be good friends, help them to be good students, and help them to just share your love wherever they go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, kids. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4, And this is being read from the New International Version of the Bible. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. Our choir anthem is going to be sung this morning by our chancel choir, so we will now be hearing from them.
Thank you.
We have our time of prayer now, where we go to the Lord in prayer. Many of those prayer needs have been mentioned already this morning. Do we have unspoken needs in our congregation this morning? Absolutely. Lord, hear our prayers. Know our hearts. Our prayer this morning is for self-serve lumber, is the business that we are praying for all week, among the many other needs that have been mentioned. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this day. God of love and compassion, we often fail to understand the truth of your love. We get so confused frequently. We're filled with doubt. Life can feel very strange and foreign to us sometimes. We wander down the pathways of life, longing to see our way more clearly. I pray this day, Lord, that you will open our eyes, that we can see your way of love, your way of grace. We ask that you touch our lives, Lord, meet our confusion with the truth of your presence. Feed us with the true bread of life. Help us change our hearts. Help us change our lives, that we would follow you every day of our life with joy, with great anticipation of what you have for us. Lord, we thank you for those that are here this day that have chosen to come into your house to worship you. For those that are listening, Lord, bless each one. Bless their homes. And Lord, help us to be filled with all that you have for us. As we talked with the kids this morning about emptying ourselves out, sometimes when we come into your house, Lord, into your sanctuary, we feel pretty empty. Lord, we've come with all sorts of baggage from the week, all sorts of burdens that we carry on our backs, all sorts of uncertainties. And Lord, I pray that we can exhale those into your presence, because, Lord, we just don't know what to do with them anyway. We pray that you will receive them, Lord, and free us up, that we might be filled this morning to overflowing with the fellowship, with the love, with your word, with the songs and the words of those songs and the praises, Lord, that we give to you. Fill our hearts and our minds with your truth. Give us your wisdom. Encourage us this day, Lord, to know you, to honor you, to have that deep, intimate relationship with you. Help us, Lord, and help those that are struggling. Help those that are grieving. Help those, Lord, that are desperately trying to find their way. Lord, we ask that you cover them and us with your mercy and grace, and that we could stay in your protective shelter of your healing presence, not only when we're here, but when we exit these doors and we go about our lives. Lord, be with us this day and all the days to come. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray these words, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Let us open our hymn books once again to our hymn of preparation, 361, also on the screens, Rock of Ages Cleft for Me, 361. may be seated. Our New Testament reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, you can also find that on the screen. Luke chapter 24, starting with the 13th verse. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Please stay with us, for it is near evening, the day's almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. Absolutely. Thanks be to God, the word of God, for the people of God. On that same day that Jesus was resurrected, two of his disciples were walking and talking together on that road, just as I read to you a moment ago. During Jesus' time, most people traveled by walking. We know that. They were walking about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and very likely they had traveled that road many times before. With the death of Jesus fresh on their mind and his body found missing from the tomb that morning, it was all that their minds could think about. Maybe you've had days like that where there was just something, an event or something that happened that was all-consuming on your heart and in your mind. That's all you could think about. Maybe it was something quite public that many people knew about, just like this and the many events leading up to it. You couldn't imagine that anyone hadn't heard, probably like a 9/11 event, you know, where certainly you've heard. And they were shocked to know that this man must have been from far away because he didn't have any idea At least they thought that at the moment. I wonder often if Jesus was just wondering what they were going to say about him. Because you see, at that point, I think of their journey, they were kind of fearful that the same fate might befall them as well. And so maybe Jesus just wanted to see what was burdening them and what they would say about him. I'm not sure. But we know that they recanted the events, and they repeated the events of the days. And they shared the burden of their hearts. Like many of the disciples, they didn't fully understand Jesus' mission while here on earth. They were still kind of learning and grasping what that was all about. And just like their walk with this stranger, it wasn't abundantly clear just yet to them. I want to liken it to opening the scriptures, and maybe we're repeating some. I love the picture. I just love this picture this morning. Just like the scriptures, we can read and read and read and read, and then one day we open that up and we read it, and it means something entirely different. Maybe because of the way the day has played out, or the situations in our life, or maybe just plain because Jesus knew we were ready to hear it more than we were ready to hear it in the days preceding. But Jesus knew what they needed. He always knows what we need, doesn't he? Jesus came up and walked beside them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Jesus has kind of a question for him, doesn't it? What happened? What's going on? As his disciples wondered about what had happened, Jesus began to teach them. He went through a lot of things from Scripture. He pointed out that all of the prophets had been pointing to what they had all been waiting for this very moment. Jesus went through the entire Bible, beginning with Moses and going through all the prophets, explaining how he had to suffer and die in order for Israel to be saved. He kind of recapped that whole scenario of his life. After Jesus invited the disciples to stay with him, actually the other way around, they invited him to stay with them. They just didn't want to be without his presence. They knew it was getting on, dark was coming, and they invited Jesus to stay with them and to be together. He revealed himself to them, and their eyes were open completely. Kind of like Jesus opens our eyes when different things happen. And then Jesus disappeared, it says in our scripture this morning. They were so excited that they got back up and walked 7 miles back to Jerusalem just so they could tell other followers about Jesus and what had happened to them. The Lord has risen indeed. It's good news for us. It was great news for them. And we need to celebrate and tell others as well. I want to pose this question to you this morning. When was the last time that you experienced hard things and couldn't see Jesus in the midst of your disappointment and sadness? And at some point, did Jesus show up and surprise you? Maybe you're experiencing that even now. I was reminded this morning of an incident that happened to me, I guess, in my presence, years ago, quite a number of years ago now. And I received permission this morning to share this story. I was doing some visitation, and I went to the hospital to visit the mother of one of my dear friends and one of the parishioners in my church. And when I got there, there were many people in the waiting room, and they were all visiting and talking. Some I knew, but most I didn't.
And before I really don't believe I even had a chance to go back to visit the person I was there to visit yet, when the doctor came into the waiting room and he asked us to all just kind of gather around for a moment. And he wanted to explain to the family that this lady was probably not going to survive more than a few minutes, or possibly at an outstretch, maybe a couple of hours. And that he had done all they could possibly do to help her. And he even was so bold as to say that we needed to circle around and pray. He said, the only thing we can do right now is pray. So I'm going to guess there was probably 20 or 25 people in this waiting room. And they stood up and we all circled around and held the hands of the person next to us and prayed. And I believe the doctor led the prayer, if I remember correctly. I didn't even lead the prayer. And when he finished praying, it was very visible that he was moved and emotional. He had tears coming down his face, as did many people within that circle, as you can only imagine receiving that news. And he excused himself, and he said, I'm going to go back now, and I'll keep you updated. So he went back to the room where the patient was, this mother of this dear friend of mine. And he said, I'll come out, Pastor, and I'll get you, bring you back after I do my examination. So he went back and did his examination, and it wasn't probably 3 minutes. And the doors burst open in this ICU unit, and he walked in and said, I am so sorry. He said, I take back every single word I just said to you. He said, everything I said was wrong. He said, she's made a turnaround. He said, it seems to be instantaneous, but her blood pressure has stabilized. From what I can tell, evidently the bleeding has stopped because all her vital signs have leveled off. And I believe that I was incorrect. And then he called me to come back as well, and I finally got to say a few words to her and prayed again over her and to her, and I don't believe she was even conscious. But long story short, this lady lived for several years to come, came home and lived a normal life and enjoyed her family, and she had had some underlying health issues. She had MS and so on, but she came home and lived her life. And every time she came to church, the guys would go out and lift, we didn't have an elevator, lifted her wheelchair up three or four steps and brought her in, and she always had a big smile on her face. I say that to say this. There were many miracles performed in Jesus' ministry. We know that the disciples were eyewitness to many of them. And we know that they saw those things and they experienced them. But you know, when you experience them for yourself, there's nothing like that, is there? Because your eyes are opened. And you've can fully understand on a whole new level who Jesus Christ is in your life. When he shows himself to you personally, when you see the evidence of him around you, when we hear the testimonies of those who have had things happen. I started a new Bible study in KPAC on Monday night, and it's about being attentive to see God things around you. And to be able to discern whether that is God, you know how we always question, is that God or is that just something I thought up in my head? I'm sure there's been different circumstances in your life where you think, was that really God telling me that, or is that just something that I've imagined in my head? Well, this particular situation here, that I told you about from the visitation, when you experience that, you just know the presence of God can be tangibly felt. And again, I say all that to say this, that when we came back the next day, Hollis came with me the next day. He wasn't working, and he came with me. And on our way out, we had stayed for a few hours, I think. And on our way out, there were people lined up at the door to go out to their car. And I didn't know a lot of these folks. And I had hoped that I hadn't. You know, you always worry. I was a new minister. I was afraid maybe I had offended somebody, and they're all kind of waiting for me at the door. And we had all had the same experience the day before, and these people held out their hands, and the gentleman said, "I'm the heathen of the family." And being a new pastor, perhaps, but I had no idea what to say. I don't know what I said to this day. I'm not sure what I said, but I shook his hand. And, you know, God loves every one of us the same, whether we feel like we're the heathen of the family or whether we feel like we are not worthy or we feel like we've made more mistakes than our neighbor. He loves every one of us the same. And I think I might have shared something like that with him, that God loves you just as much as he loves me. And you know, from that moment on, from that day on, after this episode, he and his wife very rarely miss a Sunday in church. This man that thought he was the heathen of the family decided he needed to learn a little bit more about the man that had done this for his sister. And witnessing all that he had witnessed, hearing what he had heard from the doctor, and seeing God's miraculous touch upon her body, he wanted to know more about this man. And he and his wife have been very, very faithful to the church from that moment on. And he has given his testimony on different occasions. I asked him this morning whether it was okay to share part of his testimony and his continued walk with the Lord. You see, he had had obstacles in his life as well. His family didn't attend church, and he had had a number of things happen in his life that were not happy occasions. In fact, there was one point where they kind of thought he was crazy, and they thought maybe he needed to be locked up somewhere. And God was speaking to him, I believe, through his sister, through this event, and showed him how much he loved him. He loves every one of us in the same way. No matter where we've done, no matter what experience we've had. But he kind of opened this man's eyes, just like he's opened the disciples' eyes. You see, they knew, they walked with Jesus, they knew him, they recognized him, they ate with him. But I wonder if their hearts knew him like their hearts knew him after he shown himself to them in the locked room on the road to Emmaus when he broke the bread. You see, Jesus shows himself to you as well through situations in your life. If I went around the room, I'm sure that there were times that you could say, I know this couldn't have happened other than Jesus' intervention. I know this was Jesus showing himself to me. I know you all have testimonies and ways that he's come through for you, ways that he has showed up and surprised you when you least expected it, ways that he showed you his power. And when he does that, and not only when he does that, but I think when you share your experience with somebody that needs desperately to know him, and you share your experience of the way he's opened your eyes. Their eyes are open too. And they want to come and they want to hear and they want to know what he wants for their lives, just like what he wants for their lives. Would you say that you have a full and complete understanding of Jesus this morning? I think we're all still learning and growing, aren't we? Just like what I mentioned earlier, the scripture, sometimes we can read it over and over again. And at some point you read it and you think, oh, I've got it now. I get it. I get it. I think the disciples were doing that for days and days and days to come after Jesus' resurrection. Okay, I get it now. He showed himself. That's why he did this. That's why he said that. We look back on our lives and we see tough times as well as joy-filled times, but sometimes we see ways that God has taught us through those experiences, right? I think sometimes we're more in tune when we're going through something really difficult and really tough. We're more in tune to God showing us stuff and saying things to us than we are when things are just going pretty smoothly, if that ever happens to happen to you. Because I know we have struggles, don't we? And yet we look every day for the miracles around us, for what Jesus is doing and wanting to do in our lives. I think these words in Scripture today, they're powerful reminders that our faith should always be growing and that we should always be open to encountering Christ in unexpected ways in our everyday life. We should never be afraid to share our faith with others and to be a source of encouragement and support on their journeys of faith as we share our journey of faith. We're all in a different place, I think, in our walk. We've all had different experiences. We've all had heartbreak and heartache. We've all had joy-filled moments, like the moments when that family got the news that things were not as bleak and dim as what had once been thought. When we're going through those dark places in our life, life looks pretty bleak, doesn't it? And then Jesus shows up and he promises to walk with us through that dark patch, through that dark spot, through that valley to get us on to the next place. Wise lady I used to work with would always say, "This too shall pass." And I always thought, quit saying that. That's what I always thought. Quit saying that. But the older I get, the more I think that is so important, that we know that Jesus doesn't leave us in that place forever, that we're going to have moments where we're going to feel a little bit of a burden on our shoulders. And yet we get to come in to God's house and leave those burdens at his feet and come in and encourage one another, encourage our kids, encourage one another in our walks. Tell about the way. Tell me the stories of Jesus, just like in the hymn. Tell me the stories of Jesus that I love to hear. We know that Jesus wants to show up in your life this morning too. And I believe he shows up every single day. Sometimes we don't pay attention or we think it's just a happenstance. But I believe he shows up every day, and I think when we're more in tune with that, and as we get more in tune with that, as we grow in our faith, I don't care if you're the pastor, I don't care who you are, we still got a lot of growing to do, don't we? And we do that together. God shows us each different things that we might share those together. And we might grow strong together. The crucified and risen Lord comes to meet us on our daily path to restore joy to our hearts at just the moment that we need it. The road to Emmaus becomes a symbol of our journey of faith. And we pray today that the Lord is going to open our eyes to all that he has given us and all that he has yet to share with us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. That road that we travel every day, let it be with you. Let us notice you and listen for you and see you in everything around us. As we give thanks and praise for you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let our ushers come that we might give our offering of our gifts and our tithes today. God of love, source of all goodness, you hear our cries and you answer. With grateful hearts, we bring our gifts to you. We bring our offerings as a gift of thanksgiving for your presence in our lives. We are your servants and we offer ourselves and these gifts with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 368, My Hope is Built, 368.
Oh,
just want to thank Ellen with such little notice for all that she's done to help us out this morning. Thank you so much, Ellen. We appreciate it more than words can say. And now as you walk the paths of life, know that Jesus is with you today and every day, blessing you with his presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's close with, blessed be the tie that binds. May you be blessed and join us for our fellowship hour.